Recording in progress.
Okay, so welcome back to Melachim Aleph. We're learning Perek Beit tonight, and if you remember the Perek Aleph, we essentially discussed Adonijah's rebellion. He tried to take the throne, and David stopped that, and David made it clear at the behest of Bathsheba and Nathan the Navi, that Shlomo was destined for the throne, and he's the one who's going to take over. End of story. And Adonijah bows out at the end. He realizes he's scared. He holds on to the Mizbeach. We said he doesn't want to lose his life. And they say, don't worry, we're not going to kill you. You know, take it easy. And Adonijah goes back to regular life. We'll see. He makes another appearance in this parak. Parak Beis. So we'll do about half the parak tonight. Now, David is old. He's getting old. He's about to die. And he comes and he commands Shlomo. He commands Shlomo saying the following. He gives him almost like a tzava, you know, as his life is ending. Anochi olech mederech kol haaretz, v'chazakta v'hayisa l'ish. So he tells Shlomo, I'm going in the way of the land, meaning I'm going to pass away. You need to be strong, v'hayisa l'ish, v'hayisa l'ish. So what is this referring to? So first of all, the Malbim points out how old was Shlomo at this time? 12 years old. Very good. Malbim says that Shlomo was 12 years old. So he was a kid. He was a kid. But when David was still alive, he said, "I want to train this kid. He's going to be the next king. I can't just let him. I can't just die and like he'll figure it out on his own." So Shlomo used to almost like an apprentice. You know, he was a prince and he would hang out with David. And David would train him whenever things came up that were, civic related. He would train him how to be a king. Whenever things came up that were Torah related, he would teach him the Torah, teach him Musar. He was training him to be the next king. And he said to him, "Listen, I'm not going to be here forever. At some point soon, I'm going to die. You have to be strong." And Pashup Shat, you have to be strong means physically. You have to be strong. Don't be afraid of anyone. When you're the king, you can't be afraid of people. You have to be physically strong. The other Mepharshim say he was also referring to spiritually. The Chazak of Ha'isa Le'ish doesn't just mean be physically strong and make sure that no one steps on you and that you're not scared of anyone, but also to be spiritually strong and make sure that you can conquer your own Yetzer Hara, that you're in control of yourself. If you want to lead, you have to lead yourself before you lead other people. And you have to keep the Mishmeres of Hashem. What's the Mishmeres? Mishmeres presumably means the Torah. Presumably means the Torah. And now the Navi is going to specify specific things here. What do you have to keep? Laleches bidrachav. What's laleches bidrachav? Halachta bidrachav. So that all the Mepharshim say means to emulate Hashem. Milus chasadim. What has, as Chazal put it, mahu afata. Just like Hashem is kind, you have to be kind. Just like Hashem helps the poor, you have to help the poor. Just like Hashem visits the sick, you have to visit the sick. All the gemilos chasadim that we learn from the Ribbono Shel Olam. As was Sunday morning, we had a program in DRS honoring kids for doing chesed. So Rabbi Yaakov Bender was the guest speaker. So Rabbi Bender said, "You know, where did we learn chesed? Where does chesed appear in the Torah? Chesed is so important. One of the foundations of the world, right?" One of the three pillars of the world. Where do we see it in the Torah? Torah is in the Torah. Avoda is in the Torah. Where's Chesed in the Torah? It's not explicit. It's not explicit. We have here and there, we have little hints to it. Chazal say, Vayerai love Hashem, Belonei Mamre, Hashem came to appear to Avram as Bikur Cholim. You know, hints. It's nothing's explicit. It's all Mahu Afata, the Halachta Bidracha. That's what it is. Chesed is all about emulating Hashem. So that's what this pasuk is referring to. L'alachas bidrachav. Lishmor chukosav. To keep the chukim. What are the chukim of Hashem? The statutes that no clear reason was given. What we call a chok. Paraduma. Maybe kashrus, shatnas, other things. Where we don't really understand it. Hashem told us. He didn't reveal the reason, but we have to keep them. Mitzvosav. Umishpatav. Ve'edvosav. So what are all these things? So mitzvosav, right, refers to the mitzvos. The mitzvah d'astav says mitzvosav is the mitzvos bein adam l'makom, and eidvosav or eidosav is referring to the mitzvos bein adam l'chavera. What's mishpatav? Mishpatav says the radak, that's dinim. Those are the civic laws, the laws of business, the laws of damage, the personal interactions. That's what that refers to. Eidvosav, some of the radak and the malbim say eidvosav refers to the mitzvos that are testimonies, that are edus to Hashem. What are these mitzvos? Shabbos, Yontif. We keep these mitzvos because they testify that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, that Hashem gave us the Torah. The mitzvos specifically of Shabbos and Yontif are testimonies to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, who He is, and what His interaction with us is. Kakosu b'sara b'sara as Moshe, exactly as it's written in the Torah of Moshe, and very important, the Mefarshim point out here, that he was telling Shlomo, you have to follow the Torah as it is. Don't overthink things too much. Don't use your own seichel. Shlomo was a very wise person. And we'll see in a couple of psukim, David's going to encourage him to use his wisdom when necessary. This is not a place where you use your wisdom, right? This is not a place where you use your wisdom. When it comes to serving Hashem, it's very clear. Look in Shulchan Aruch. Look in the Torah. It's very clear how to serve Hashem. Don't think too much, you know, as to how to serve Hashem. Why? Because sometimes people think themselves into a pretzel, think themselves out of a pretzel, and all of a sudden they're doing things that are strange, they're doing things that are deviant, they're doing things that are not exactly in what the way the Torah describes it. Why? They can come up with a whole position paper about this idea. That's not what Hashem wants. Very simple. Look at the Torah, look at the mitzvahs, look at the Shulchan Aruch. It's very simple what Hashem wants from you. Ka'kostu b'soras Moshe, as it's written. Don't veer, don't deviate, don't be too much of a chacham when it comes to this. So that you will be successful. So that you will be successful. You'll use your seichel to be successful with everything that you do and every direction that you go. The Mesudah Sevet points out something fascinating here. He says, Laman Taskil. Why is Taskil? Taskil is from the word Seichel, right? So why is that? If the whole idea here is that he's not supposed to be using his Seichel, just follow the Torah. So why do we use this language of Laman Taskil, that he should be successful? We're using the language of Seichel. So Mesudah says something fascinating. He says that when you do the things that you are commanded to do, Hashem gives you tzivuim, He gives you mitzvos, tells you to stay away from averos, and you do those things, you will develop an intuition for the things that Hashem did not command you about. Because sometimes there are things where there's a gray area. Sometimes there are things where there's no clear approach. There's no clear answer. There's no clear halacha. There's no clear cut directive as to what I should do, how I should approach this, how I should handle this situation. Sometimes we have new situations that never occurred before in history. There is no text. How do I approach that? What's my gisha? What's my approach to this from a Yiddishkeit perspective, from a Ratzon Hashem perspective? How am I going to know that? How am I going to make that decision? Says the Navi, Leman Taskil, that if you keep all of these things that we talked about, Chukosav, Mitzvosav, Mishpatav, Eidosav, Kakosav, Teras Moshe, if you keep all of that, Leman Taskil, you'll develop the seichel and the intuition to know what's important and how to make those decisions when it is a gray area, when it is ambiguous, when there's no clear direction. That's what you'll do. Some call this the fifth Shulchan Aruch. Some call the fifth Shulchan Aruch is like the Ben Adam Lachavera. But this is also called by some common sense. But the fifth, but common sense not so common, right? The fifth Shulchan Aruch. You know, this is also the idea that sometimes this idea is batted around, and sometimes it's, people either put it up on their flag or tear it down from their flag, depending on what camp they're in or how they approach it. But the concept of Das Torah, right? Das Torah. What's the concept of Das Torah? So some people will say Das Torah, everything you have to ask, everything to the Talmid Chacham, to the Gadol, everything has to be asked, and you follow his advice for everything. And others say Das Torah, what are you talking about? Yeah, I don't have to ask, if I want to buy a dishwasher, I don't have to ask the Gadol which dishwasher I should buy. I do my research and I buy whatever dishwasher makes sense, right? And both there's validity to both of them, right? But what's the real idea of Das Torah? What I believe the real idea of Das Torah is this concept. The dishwasher is a silly example, right? The Gaul is not going to tell you one dishwasher is better than another dishwasher. Even though there are stories about the Chazarish that people used to go to him for all sorts of different questions. Someone once told me this, I don't know if it's true or not true, that there's something called the Karelitz cut. That there's a way of doing surgery where the Chazanish actually recommended to someone to do surgery in a certain way, and the doctor realized that that was a good way to do it, and they called it the Karelitz cut. I don't know if that's true or not true, but there's a story like that out there. But what I believe really that the concept of Das Torah really tells us is exactly what this Mitzvah Das Torah is saying. That sometimes there are areas, not in the area of what dishwasher I should buy, but sometimes there are areas where, you know, Judaism might have something to say about this. The Torah might have something to say about this. Yiddishkeit, Ratzon Hashem might have something to say about this. And there is no clear-cut approach. So what do I do? How do I make that decision? And sometimes when I look at the decision and I weigh the pros and the cons, I'm not 100% sure what Hashem wants from me. I don't really know what the Torah would recommend in this instance. So who knows? The Gedolim know. Why do the Gedolim know? Because the Gedolim are ones who are lishmor chukosa mitzvosa mishpata ve'edvosa. They're the ones who are following this pasuk. They're doing all the things that this pasuk says to do, and they know all of the Torah that's out there. And therefore, what that does is that helps them develop an intuition in the gray area. In the areas that are ambiguous, it helps them develop an intuition as to what's right and what's not right, as to what's proper and what's not proper from a Judaism perspective. Again, things that are irrelevant, what dishwasher I should buy, the Gadol is not going to have a say. He's not going to have an opinion as to I should buy a KitchenAid or I should buy a Bosch. He's not going to care about that, right? But things that do relate to Yiddishkeit, things that do relate to approach, especially sometimes you have sticky issues, whether it's political issues or whether it's issues that are, you know, that are, you know, just navigating contemporary society and how do I approach this new thing, which nothing, you know, nobody ever heard of this before. Nobody ever discussed this before. People feeling different ways, doing different things. Gedolim have an intuition because of all of their experience with Torah. They have an intuition as to how the Torah approaches things, how the Torah sees things. Now, again, even among Gedolim, sometimes you can have differences of opinion. But that's an area, that area of Das Torah, where there's like a gray area where Yiddishkeit might have something to say, right? Or does. The Torah does or might have something to say. So very often the Gedolim have an intuition as to what the right thing is. A Rebbe of mine, I speak to very often about things in life, you know, situations that arise. And, you know, you can just tell by talking to him, you know, that he has an intuition. And things are clear. Yes, you know, things are clear to him. This, you know, this makes sense, this doesn't make sense. And I can't tell you so many times where I have followed his advice, and sometimes I have not followed his advice. And I said, listen, I think that something else is the right move. And looking back at this, I think to myself, you know, he was right. He was really right. You know, he knew exactly what he was talking about. And these are things that are not, you know, halacha, shulchan aruch. These are, you know, life questions and, you know, decisions and certain things that, like, you know, you just make a decision and he might make a comment, you know, this, that, and the other. And you're like, I don't know about that. And later you look back, you know, he was 100% right. 100% right, on target. Why? Intuition. Intuition. It's an intuition is something you develop. But you develop it by following the Torah, by learning the Torah. You develop what the Torah intuition is. What the Torah intuition is. You know, it's like couples that are married, Baruch Hashem, you know, healthy marriages for a long period of time. So very often, you know, you know exactly what your wife is going to say, what your husband is going to say, even before they say it. You know how they're going to approach something. You know what their reaction is going to be. You know exactly what they're going to say. And even if sometimes we play dumb and we think we don't know. We, you know, at the end of the day, once they react, I knew she was going to say that. I knew he was going to say that. Right? Why? Because when you know someone so well, you intuit even the things that aren't clear. But you know, I know what the reaction is going to be. That's the idea of Das Torah. That's what Mitzvah Das is saying. That David HaMelech is telling Shlomo, learn, keep the Torah, keep all the mitzvot, learn, learn, learn. Because the more you do, the more you'll develop this intuition that you need to lead. And that's such an important concept. Okay, moving on to Pasuk Dalet. Leman Yakim Hashem es Devaro Asher Diber Olam Mor. And if you do all of this, you keep all of the Torah, You follow everything. You learn. Hashem will keep his word. He will keep his word, the word that he spoke to me, saying, "Im yishmeru vanecha es darkom, lo leches lefanai be'emes." If your children follow their way and keep the path of truth, b'chol levavam v'chol nafsham, with all of their heart and all of their soul, le'mor, lo yikares lecha ish me'al kisei Yisrael. That you will not, you'll have a continuous line, a continuous dynasty, continuous line of kings. It'll be you, it'll be your son, your grandson, etc., etc. You won't have any interruption in this line of kings. Pasuk Hey, Vigam Ato Yodata. Okay, so hold on. So Pasuk Gimel and Dalin are pretty much David encouraging him to keep the Torah. He'll have this long line of the Melucha. And now Pasuk Hey is very interesting. Here's where things get a little personal. David has some unfinished business, and he wants Shlomo to take care of it. V'gam atel yodata eis asher osa li Yoav ben Tzruya. He says, and you know, more than anyone else, what Yoav ben Tzruya did to me. Okay? Now, what did Yoav ben Tzruya do? Yoav ben Tzruya killed a whole bunch of people that David did not want him to kill. He killed Avner. He killed Amasa. He killed Avshalom. You know what Yoav ben Tzruya did to me. Asher osa li shnei sorei tzivos Yisroel, Avner ben Ner, v'la Amasa ben Yeser. By Yahar game, he killed them. These were two generals of Klal Yisrael. He killed them. Vayosim de Milchama b'shalom, and he took, interesting expression, he took the blood of battle and injected it into peace. Meaning, this was the time of peace. They were at peace. They weren't at battle. They weren't fighting. They were at peace. They weren't suspecting. Right? We know that Yoav killed both of them by surprise, right? We learn the stories in Shmuel about how he killed Avner and Amasa, and both of them. It was with deception and surprise. This wasn't like a battle that wasn't a time of milchama.
Remember, Sheva's husband Uriah, he didn't kill them. He sent them up front to get killed.
Yeah, yeah, so right.
It's just not part of.
Yeah, we're not talking about Uriah here, right? Yeah, no, he's talking about Yoav killing Avner and Amasa. No.
It's interesting that
he doesn't say Avshalom. Yeah, that is interesting. Somebody does mention it. The Radak. The Radak does mention Avshalom. He says the Pashup Shad is that's why that's why the Pasuk says in the beginning, Vigamata Yadata is Asher Asali Yoav Ben Tzruya. What do you mean Yasali? What did he do to David? He's about to say that he killed Avner and Amasa. What did he do to David? He didn't do anything to David. So the Radak says, Pasha Pshat is that maybe because he killed Avshalom. So that's the Asher Asali. Some say it's because Amasa and Avner were really, you know, were really a part of David's army. That's also is Asher Asali. We'll see also that the Medrash, and this is quoted a couple times by a couple different Mefarshim here, the Medrash is that Yoav did do something to David, and he did it in secret. And apparently, the thing that David had written up about killing Uriah, Yoav made that public. He leaked it, and that brought a lot of embarrassment to David. So that's also, according to the Medrash, that's also something that David wants to take care of, wants to settle the score because of what he did.
Rabbi,
yeah.
Can I ask you a question? I'm just going back to the last pasuk. It says. In my law was the two things that were given unconditionally were the five books of Moses and the priesthood of Aaron and his descendants. What does that mean? I'm lost. The priesthood of Aaron and his descendants were given to Solomon?
I'm not sure.
It says the five books of Moses.
Yechum Sheitara?
No, this is from Mayim Loas.
No, I know. What are the two things? The one is the priesthood of Aaron.
The five books of Moses and the priesthood of Aaron and his descendants.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
All right.
I'm not sure. Sorry. Okay. So these are scores that he wants to settle. And now at the end of the pasuk says, "Vayitein demei melchama b'chagora so asher b'masnav uvenalo asher b'raglav." And this blood of battle, this blood of war, he placed b'chagora so asher b'masnav on his belt, right, which was by his flanks, which was by his sides, and on his shoe, which was on his foot. Now, what is this referring to? So the Mefarshim say that these are allusions to how he killed these two generals. If you remember, Rashi says this, that he killed Amasa because he positioned his sword in a strange way so that the sword would fall and he would bend down to pick it up. And as he was coming up, he killed Amasa. And Amasa was unsuspecting. He thought Yoav was just picking up his sword. So that was the story with Amasa. And with Avner, Chazal said that also he tricked him by pulling him off to the side and asking him a shayla about how does a woman do chalitza, or how does a woman have chalitza done if she doesn't have a foot? And he was asking this intricate shayla, so Amasa had no idea Avner had no idea what was coming, and then he killed her. So these are allusions to how they were killed. The Malbim also points out here that. These two individuals, even though each one had originally supported someone else, right? If you remember, Avner originally supported Ishbosheth, and Amasa originally supported Avshalom. But after that, they made up with David, and they were at peace with David. And that's why he says, "Demei milchama b'shalom." There was shalom here between David and these generals. There wasn't so much bad blood, so to speak. There was shalom, and that's when Yoav came and did what he did. That is a problem. Right after already you make up and there's shalom and now David has come to terms and come to peace with these people. Now you come in and kill them. That's a chutzpah. That's already a chutzpah. That's beyond. And it's interesting that David himself didn't kill these people. Right? I'm sorry. David himself did not kill Yoav. Why didn't David kill Yoav? Now, what? Okay. Well, I mean, if he did things wrong, he did things wrong. You know, I mean, it could be. I don't know. I mean, in general, it's interesting. You know, so the Malbim says he didn't kill him because he needed him, because he needed Yoav to be the general. And right now, he didn't know of anyone else who could take Yoav's place and be as good a general as Yoav could be. In general, though, I think we find time and time again that David is not killing people that are wronging him. Right? Even though David is known as like this bloody general and, you know, he can't build the base on Mikdash because he has blood on his hands. At the end of the day, all these people that are wronging him personally, he looks the other way. Right? Remember, Shaul is the prime example. Right? He could have killed Shaul. Shaul was trying to kill him. You know, David would have gotten scot-free had he killed Shaul, and he never did. He never touched him. Right? Yoav, he doesn't kill him with all these things that upset him. Shimi ben Gera, who curses David, right? And then they want to kill Shimi. He says, no, don't kill him. Now again, we'll read about Shimi in a minute. But all of these people that wrong David personally, he looks the other way. And he says, no, it's okay. Don't worry about it. Don't kill them. No, it's interesting. But now the score is going to be settled. Pasuk Vav. Ve'asisa kechach masecha ve'lo sored sevaso b'shalom shal. David says to his son Shlomo, I want you to use your wisdom, and I don't want him to live out his life in peace. I don't want him to live out his life in peace. I don't want him to die naturally. Now, according to most of the Mefarshim here, what David is telling him is that I want you to kill him. I want you to kill Yoav. But, and according to some of the Mefarshim, he's already chayiv misa. You already have a pretense for killing him, but he is a good person. He's done good things. And therefore, I don't want you to just come out and kill him, but I want you to find another legitimate reason to kill him. Asay kechach masecha, or asisa kechach masecha. Figure something out to kill him with good cause, with good reason, but don't just come out and kill him. Okay, which is interesting. He wants to... He wants him dead, but he's not telling Shlomo just come out and kill him. He's saying, come up with some sort of a reason why you're going to kill him. It has to be legitimate. It has to be real. But already he's chayav misa. It's interesting. The Rashi says here, he says, don't let him die naturally, because if you let him die naturally, he'll end up in Gehenna. That's what Rashi says. So you're doing him a favor, right? By killing him now in this world early, you're doing him a favor. He'll get a kapara, and then he won't get punished as much in the Olam HaEmes, which is an interesting perspective. Okay, but that's number one. Number two comes David. Pasuk Zayin. V'livnei Barzilai HaGiladi. Now, what about Barzilai HaGiladi? Remember Barzilai HaGiladi? He did a lot of good to David. He helped him out when he was on the run. He gave him food. He gave him drink. To him, ta'aseh chesed. I want you to do chesed to him. V'hayu ba'ochle shulchanecha. He should be welcome at your table. Feed him. Ki chein karvu elai b'varachim b'nei Avshalom achicha. Because when I was running away from Avshalom, he was the one who was mekarev me. And he gave me food. He gave me drink. He supported me. So I want you to do the same to him. Now, interesting, the Metzudas David says, don't just feed him, because that's just paying them back, right? But he says, I want you to do extra chesed with him, right? I want you to feed him and do extra chesed. Two things. Taas the chesed, v'hayu ba'ochle shulchanach. Those are two separate things, according to the Metzudas David. One is pay him back for what he did. He should always be able to eat by you. And number two, chesed, some other chesed, to pay him back. Okay, now, back to those who did wrong. Pasuk ches, v'hinei imcha Shimi ben Gera ben Hayimini. Now you have Shimi ben Gera. He's also hanging around here. Imcha, he's with you. Ben Hayimini, he's from Binyamin. Mibachurim. V'hu kidlani klala nimretzes. Remember what he did? He cursed me. He cursed me klala nimretzes. Rashi says that means explicit. The Radak says it means it was a very strong curse. B'yom lechti machanoim, when I was going to machanoim. V'hu yora v'krosti hayardein. And then he came down to me at the Yarden. Remember, we read this story also. We learned this story. He came to the Yarden to beg his forgiveness and to beg Mechila from David HaMelech. And he says, I swore to him that I would not kill him. Right? He asked Mechila, I swore to him that I would not kill him. So I can't kill him, but you can. But you can. And he's under your reshus. He's in your domain. And even though he's from Shevet Binyamin, but he's with you in Yerushalayim, you can bring about his death. You can kill him. He's deserving of Misa. I can't kill him because he asked. He came to me begging for Mechila, and I swore that I wouldn't. But you can. And again, according to some of the Mefarshim here, find a reason, right? Find a reason. Use your Chachma to figure something out to kill him in a justified way. Pasuk Tes Ve'ata Al Tenakehu, right? Don't come clean with him. Don't come clean with him. Ki ish chachamata. You're a wise person. You can figure this out. The adata esas shetaselo. You'll figure out exactly what to do to him. The horadata es sevaso bedam sha'ol. And he says don't let him die naturally. Says mitzvah seven. And don't give him cover because he's old. Shimi ben Gera at that point was old, and maybe Shlomo would be nervous. Shlomo's a young guy. Here's an old man. He's going to be nervous to kill him. Don't be nervous. Right? Don't give him cover. He deserves the death penalty. Yeah, but Shlomo could. Yeah. Yes, we'll see Shlomo. We'll see. Shlomo doesn't do this himself. He's the king. He's got to, you know. Yeah, the king has to tell certain people to kill people, you know. But he's not doing it himself. So this is a good question. This is a good question. And unfortunately, it's interesting. Don't really focus on this too much. But, you know, apparently, this is just my...
What's the question?
The question is, meaning, why is this okay for Shlomo to do, but not for David to do?
It's not a promise, but he won't kill him.
Okay, meaning if these people are all deserving of death, right? So then David should have them killed. And if they're not deserving of death, he shouldn't have them killed. You know, he's going to let them go. And all of a sudden, he's telling Shlomo, here, you do all my dirty work. You know, oh, I have a whole list of people here that I wanted to kill. I never got around to it. Please take care. Right? You know, it's strange. So what I think, you know, along these lines, I think that David, you know, David, as much as he was an Ish Milchama, he was really an Ish Shalom. And he was really an Ish Shalom. And to him, and he was also an anav. So to him, it was like, listen, these people did things wrong. They're chayiv misa. Yoav is chayiv misa. And Shimi ben Gera, chayiv misa. But David was almost like, I don't have the heart to kill these people. you know, they're really good people, and, you know, okay, they made mistakes, things like that. And at the end of the day, though, they're Chayim Misa. So he would say, I can't bring myself to kill them. And also, from his perspective, you know, it almost seems like personal. You know, you cursed me, I'm going to kill you. Right? You killed Avshalom, I'm going to kill you. So David says, I don't want this to be personal. I don't want this to be about you did something wrong to me, so I'm going to kill you. You're Chayiv Misa, you have to die. So someone else is going to take care of it, not me.
Maybe he thought that he could handle it, but Shlomo couldn't, so rather than trust him and let them do it with
him. Oh, okay. So that's also, we'll see in a minute, that's a good point also, right? So what I was suggesting is that maybe David realized that these people caused him tzaros, and he was able to handle it. But they're going to cause Shlomo tzaros also, and he won't be able to handle it. So just nip it in the bud and kill them. They're deserving of death. Kill them, get them out of the way, and this way you'll solidify your kingdom. We'll see there is merit to that. It's a good suggestion, and there is merit to it in the Pesukim. Okay. Yishgav David im avosav, ayikover b'ir David, pasuk yud, that David dies. He dies, and he's buried in Ir David. In Ir David, okay. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Hayomim Asher Malach David al Yisrael Arba'im Shana. Now we know this already, and this is also in Divrei Hayomim. But just as a summary, that David ruled for 40 years. BeChevron Malach Sheva Shanim, in Chevron for 7. Uvi Yerushalayim Malach Shloshim V'Shalosh Shanim, in 33 years in Yerushalayim. 7 in Chevron, 33 in Yerushalayim. Obviously, for some of those months, he was on the run from Avshalom for about 6 months. He was on the run from Avshalom, but that's not counted here. It's also part of the cheshbon. Pasuk Yud Beis: Ushlomo Yashav Al Kisei David Aviv Hatikon Malchuso Meod. David sits on the throne of his father. I'm sorry. Thank you. Shlomo sits on the throne of his father. Hatikon Malchuso Meod means his kingdom is well established. He doesn't have the rocky, tumultuous times in his malucha that David had. His kingdom is smooth sailing. However, the Mefarshim point out, it's only smooth sailing after all these people were killed. Right? All these people that David just mentioned that needed to be killed, or I should just say it's really just two of them, Yoav and Shimei, once they were killed and once they were out of the way, they could have been thorns in his side. They were out of the way. They were off the map. Out of the equation, now Vatikon Malchuso Ma'od, now it's smooth sailing for Shlomo for the rest of his Malchus. But right at the beginning of his Malchus, he has a little hiccup. What's the little hiccup? Remember Adoniyahu? He's not going down without a fight. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayovo Adoniyahu ven Chagith El Basheva, Eim Shlomo, Vatomer HaShalom Boecha, Vayomer Shalom. So now Adoniyahu reappears. He resurfaces. He doesn't come to Shlomo, though. He comes to Bathsheba. And we'll see in a minute why he comes to Bathsheba. But Bathsheba, of course, is Shlomo's mother. He knocks on her door. She looks through the peephole. She sees Adoniyahu. She's a little nervous. Adoniyahu is not the guy that she wants to see at her door. So she calls out to him, HaShalom Boecha. Are you coming in peace? Or are you coming to fight? What's going on here? Vayomer Shalom. And he says, I'm coming in peace. I guess she trusts him. She opens the door, apparently. He passes Yudalin. Vayomer, and he says, Davar li eloich. I need to talk to you about something. Vatomer daber. So she says, please, by all means. Pasuk tezvav. Vayomer, at yada'at ki li haisa hamelucha. Oh boy. So she says to her, listen, you know that I was the king. I had the kingdom. The alai samu chol Yisrael peneihem limloch. And I had the support of the masses. Where is he going with this? Vatisov hamelucha, vatahila achi. And now the melucha was diverted, and now it belongs to my brother, Shlomo, her son. Ki me Hashem haisalo. Interesting. And he admits, the reason why is because that's what Hashem wants. That's what Hashem wants. That was clear. The nevuah to Nasan, Shlomo's the king. That's what Hashem wants. Okay, so it's interesting. He's admitting that Shlomo is the king because that's what the Nasan, the Navi, said in the name of Hashem. Okay? He's admitting that and he's saying to himself, he's saying to her, I'm not foolish enough to argue with Hashem. But he opens up with this message that, but I'm really, you know, king material. I'm really king material, right? I was the king. I'm on the level of the king. I really deserve to be the king. I'm the oldest brother. Remember, he was the next in line, right? I have the public support. Everybody wanted me to be the king. The Ata Pasuk Tezayin, She'eila Achas Anochi Shoal Me'itach. I have one question, one request of you. Al Tashivi Es Panai, please don't turn me away. Tamari loved Aber, and she says, please speak. And again, he says, I'm not coming to you to ask for the kingdom. I know I'm not the king. I know your son Shlomo is the king. That's what Hashem wants. But Pasuk Yudzayin Vayomer, Imrina L'Shlomo HaMelech, Ki Lo Yashiv Es Panayich, Vayiten Li Es Avishag Hashunamis L'Isha. He says, just do me a favor. I'm dying to marry Avishag. Avishag Hashunamis, right? The young girl who helped David at the end of his life, right? I'm dying to marry her. Please go to Shlomo and ask him to allow me to marry Avishag Hashunamis. Okay, now, you could understand this on a very simple level. The guy just had a desire for her, you know? He had a desire for her. He saw her when she was with him, when she was with David. He had a desire for her. David's dead, right? She's now not with anybody. So I want to marry her. Shlomo's the one who's overseeing everything. Now he's the king. I have to have his permission. I'm making it clear. I'm coming to the mother. Why is he coming to Bathsheba and not to Shlomo directly? Because he's scared to go to Shlomo directly with this. But he thinks maybe if I can convince Bathsheba, Bathsheba's his mom. Hey, the king's mom comes then. You can't turn away your mother, right? So I'm going to go in through the back door, convincing the mother to allow me to marry Avishai. And she's going to tell Shlomo, and Shlomo will say, okay, fine, ma. If that's what you want, you know, I'll let him marry Avishai. V'atomer Bathsheba tov, Anochi adabar alecha el hamelech. And she says, okay, sounds good. Sounds reasonable. Everybody needs a shidduch, right? Sounds reasonable. I'll go to Shlomo and I'll present this case to Shlomo. Okay? Pasuk Yudtes. V'atovo Bathsheba el hamelech Shlomo ledaber lo al Adon Yahu. So she approaches Shlomo. She comes to Shlomo to speak about Adon Yahu's matter. V'yakom hamelech likrosa. She comes into the room. Shlomo gets up. It's his mother. He gets up in honor of her. V'yishtachu lo, and he bows down to her. V'yeshev al kiso. And then he sits back down on his throne. He is the king. And he places another chair. He tells his men, bring another chair to my right. Put it down for my mother. And he puts down a chair for his mother. That's the Pashup Shah. The Mefarshim all mentioned here a Medrash that the chair was not for his mother, but was for the aim of the Melucha, the matriarch of the entire kingdom. Who's the matriarch of the entire kingdom? Rus. We know David descended from Rus. And according to the Medrash, Rus is still alive. She's a very old woman, it must be, at this time. I mean, David just died, right? So Rus must be a very, very old woman. She's still alive, apparently. And he had a special chair. He brought the special chair for Rus. What Rus was doing there, and I don't really know. And the Radak himself says it's a very difficult, you know, the Radak always says, very difficult Medrash to understand. The Radak says, but that's what Chazal say. That's the Medrash. Okay. But Pashup Shad, it was for his mother. It was for his mother, Bathsheba. It's just a strange way. The Pasuk has a strange way of saying it. La'im HaMelech. We, you know, just say Bathsheba. We're talking about Bathsheba. Okay. Pasuk Chaf. V'atomer she'ela achas kitana nochi shomelas me'itach. And she says to him, listen, I have a little favor to ask of you. Al toshev es ponai. Don't turn me away empty-handed. V'yomer la'HaMelech sha'ali. Imi. So he says, please, ma, speak. Ask what you want. I'm not going to turn you away. She comes right out with it. Do me a favor. Let Adon Yahu, your brother, your half-brother, let him marry Avishag. Let him marry Avishag Ashunamis. Okay, so again, you might see a simple request. The guy, you know, he really loves her. He has a desire for her. What's the big deal? What's the big deal? Shlomo's not with Avishag right now. So what's the big deal? Shlomo sees right through this. Vayad HaMelech Shlomo vayomer li'ima. V'loma at shoelas et Avishag Ashunamis la'Adon Yahu. Why are you asking this? V'shaldi lo es HaMelucha. Why don't you just ask for the kingdom? Cut to the chase. Just ask for the kingdom. Ki hu achi agado mimeri. After all, he's my older brother. V'lo ula Evyaster HaKohen ula Yoav Ben Tzruya. So why don't you just give the kingdom to him and to Evyaster the Kohen and to Yoav Ben Tzruya. Give it to them. Why are you asking for Avishag? Just cut to the chase and ask for the Melucha. Whoa. Right? So he touched the nerve. She touched the nerve with this request. Now, all the Mefarshim say here that Shlomo HaMelech saw right through this. This was not just a simple, lust that he had for Avishag, or he fell in love with Avishag, and that's what he wanted. Adoniyahu is still bitter about the Malucha. He's still bitter about the Malchus. He's not admitting it, because he can't come out and say it, so he comes out and says, oh, Shlomo's the king, it was decided by Hashem, yada, yada, yada. That's what he says. Right? But in the back of his mind, he really wants to be the king. And he thinks to himself, what's my last chance? This is my last chance. Because Avishag HaShunamis was David's girl. So if I can get him to agree to allow me to marry her, then what does that make me? A shtickle a king. Makes me a shtickle a king. We know the halacha is that they all quote the Gemara that a regular civilian is not allowed. It's usher for a civilian to use anything that the king used. And that applies even to this woman, Avishag, who was David's servant, essentially. A regular civilian can't have her. Can't have her. So if Shlomo would give her to Adoniyahu, that would mean Adoniyahu has an element of Malchus. And that's all he wants. He wants a little sliver, a little piece. Because once he has that, he can start to maneuver, he can start to work, and he can claw his way back to the Malchus. Good question. Good question. Maybe David thought, Adoniyahu, he just gave up. He's not, he gave up easily. He's not a threat. But you see, he really is still a threat. Vayishova apostakov gimel, Vayishova hamelech Shlomo b'Hashem leimor, ko yasel yalokim v'cho yost, if he swears, ki benafsho diber Adoniyahu es adavar hazeh, he's a dead man. Right? Once he made this request, that's it. He's not, I'm going to kill him. Pasuk Chavdal, V'yata chaya Hashem asher echinani, V'yoshivani al kisei David avi, V'asher osa li bayis kasher diver, Ki hayom yumas Adoniyahu. And he swears, and he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put me on this throne, he gave me this melucha, and this guy is a dead man. He's already trying to rebel, he's trying to usurp the Malchus, and he's a dead man. Today I'm going to kill him. Pasuk Chavhei, V'yishlach HaMelech Shlomo b'yad b'nayahu ben Yehoyada, and he sends Benayahu ben Yehoyada as his hitman. He says, kill this guy, and he kills Adoniyahu, and Adoniyahu dies. All the Mefarshim, question, Benayahu ben Yehoyada is a Kohen. And we'll see that, how could he tell a Kohen to kill him? Kohen's not allowed to be Metame himself, right? He can't become Tame. So how could Shlomo give the orders that Benayahu should kill him? Okay, good. So one answer he gives is that if it's for a mitzvah, it's allowed, and this was a mitzvah, right? Shlomo HaMelech, was the king, and he was giving a command, and that was a mitzvah. That's one approach. Second approach, he says, and other Mefarshim say this also, is that he killed him, but it wasn't instantaneous. He shot him, and then he ran away. So by the time he died, he was out of range, so to speak. But now Yahu and Yahu, and he didn't become Tavim. Okay, but this is the end of Adoniyahu. Now we see very clearly what's happening here. We'll read the rest of the Mishnah. We'll go through the rest of the parak next week. That Shlomo is very clearly and very quickly asserting his authority. I am the king. There's not going to be any questions about this. And anyone who has any problems, take care. And you're going to be out of the picture. And this is going to be my malchus. And as the pasuk said, "Vatikon malchus ma'od." That Shlomo's malchus was very smooth. Partially because perhaps he laid down the law in the very beginning and made it clear that there weren't going to be any questions about his malchus. Okay, we'll stop here for tonight. Shkoyach, thank you for coming. And Mr. Shem will pick up next week. Good night, Aaron.
Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you so much.
Good night. Good night.